O Spirit of truth, open our minds and hearts as the scriptures are read and proclaimed. May your word plant seeds of hope and stir dreams of new life within us. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. This is a part of the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with others, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope in the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of us all, who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Now these gifts are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So happy anniversary to all of you. As members of the United Church of Canada, we count adherents the same way because we love you all. The United Church of Canada was formed on June the 10th of 1925 with the union of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. We got 70% of them. The Methodist Church, the Congregational Churches, and the General Council of Local Union Churches all coming together. Now, I don't think any of us were witnesses to this great adventure 100 years ago, but we are certainly blessed to see her reach the 100th year celebration. The United Church represents many wonderful things. For all the things that make us crazy, there are some truly wonderful things. And perhaps the greatest of all of them is her radical inclusivity. No other denomination has as broad a theological continuum, from ultra-conservative to revolutionary liberalism and everything in between, all finding a home in one denomination. I think the ultimate vision of the church is to remove all those denominational barriers and to truly be one big united church. That is the body of Christ. And it is to this church that we have been called. We have been chosen by God, as Peter says in his letter. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So the United Church celebrates 100 years. But the body of Christ is over 2,000 years. What does it mean to be the church? And I think the important word in this is the be part. Sometimes we're really good at doing church, but are we good at being her? See, being the church is not about church attendance. It's not about helping at all the church functions. It's far deeper than that. It's not about our buildings. It's about the people within them. The church is family. And being the church means being family. To be the church is about embracing our identity as the body of Christ and living it out in the world. Paul tells us to live a life that is worthy of our calling. We only get one life. Let's make it one worthy of our calling. And Paul gives us some attributes to try to hold on to. Always be humble and gentle. I think that's a trait we have fairly well embraced in terms of our evangelical approach. When we try to evangelize to others, we are always humble and gentle, maybe almost too much so. We're humble and gentle. We are patient with each other within our congregation and without. And making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. The love of Christ that is in you allows you to be more patient with each other, more gracious to one another. Now, Peter says in his letter, he tells us to live a good life among the unbelievers so that they might see your good works and glorify God. See what you do and take notice. Now, their glorifying God might sound like, wow, is that person ever a good person? I really like them. They're very dependable. All of these praises are qualities that God has put in you, and so they glorify God, although they might not know God yet. See, God has chosen you to be a part of his family, to be his representative in this world. I mean, it's an act of grace that you're a part of the body of Christ in the first place, for all of us. And our response must be to live a life that's worthy of that calling. Let's not get caught up in bitter disputes and grudges and all those kinds of things that tear down relationships. But let's be the church. Remember, you are God's masterpiece, created to do good works. So be kind and be joyful and be generous in all things. Live your life aware of God's presence and aware of your witness. Be aware of what others might think about your faith based on the way that you live. God does not leave us on our own to get this right. In this one church, God provides gifts for the church that will benefit his people. He has given the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers who are responsible to equip you to build up the body of Christ so that they can go into the world and be the church. Paul describes the purpose of our gathering like this in Hebrews 10. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some people have formed the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. That's why we gather. We gather to worship God and to build each other up and encourage one another in love and good works. The reason you come to church is to be stirred up in love so that you can go into a world that doesn't have enough love and you can be love in those spaces. You come to get your light shining bright, to fan the flame into a huge, or to fan your spark into a huge flame, so that you can shine light in all the dark places. You come to be built up, so that when you leave here, you are the church. It's beyond doing church and becoming her. So what is the purpose of the church? Well, it is community, and it is to gather and to worship and to pray together, where believers can come and support and encourage one another. The church plays a vital role in nurturing our faith, in nurturing believers and helping them to grow so that they can, in fact, live out their faith. It is a safe place for questions and wonderings and even doubts. And the church is called to share the gospel with the world through engaging in outreach activities, serving the needs of those around us, and inviting others to come and to learn about Jesus. We share the gospel in the way that we live, when we live with love. The church also is called to demonstrate the love of God through acts of service and compassion, helping those in need, and advocating for justice. Doing these things fulfills the purpose of the church, the body of Christ. When we do these things for our neighbor, we are being the church to them. Today, as we celebrate 100 years of our denomination, let us also celebrate the eternal reign of Christ, the true head of the church, who works in us and through us by the Spirit. And let us celebrate our own anniversaries into the church. How long have you been a Christian? Look back and celebrate the growth that you see in your own life as you've experienced Christ. And then let us all look forward as we continue to live a life worthy of our call, as we learn to be the church in this world. Go now singing songs of hope, even in dark places. Go now strengthened by the Spirit who breaks chains and opens hearts. Go now as a people of renewal, revitalized to love, to serve, and to thrive together in Christ's name.